Welcome to Talking Toonies, where average people talk about average money concepts with the hopes of creating a not-so-average financial future for you, the listener. Let's get started. Yes, children will completely change your life. This does certainly include your financial life. Talking Toonies is sponsored by Sunrise Credit Union, a financial institute in southwestern Manitoba, owned by the people it serves. Awesome people helping awesome people achieve their financial goals. Welcome to episode 6. I'm Nick Honestchuk. With me is our co-host, Bryce Ketchinson. Hey, Bryce.
Hi, Nick.
Congratulations on the new arrival. You and your wife are parents.
Thank you.
Awesome. How is it going?
Things are great. She's a breath of fresh air.
Excellent. And an expensive one?
Not at this time, but Nick, money, kids.
Yeah.
Like, they can get expensive quick.
Yes.
I've got some questions.
Well, you know what? I might have some answers for you. I do have two children, age 3 and 5. I've learned a few things. Hopefully I have some answers for you. We can chat about the actual costs of these children as they get older. And let's try to, as we do that, attempt to raise some money conscious kids as well. But before we get started, let me start by asking you the first question. You seem like a planner. So as you were preparing for baby to arrive, how did it go planning the purchases? Because that can be an expense, right? The crib, the stroller, the car seat, the clothes. How did it look?
Well, you know, there's lots of different brands and everything else. And with different brands goes different prices. There's super cheap and there's super expensive. I know for us, we decided that we wanted to splurge on the stroller because we wanted to be able to take it jogging, different types of weather in the hills.
Yep.
So that was pricey. But to make up for it, you know, some of the clothes that cost a quarter, that cost 50 cents. And that was kind of the balance that we went with as we kind of waded through equipping ourselves to have a kid.
That is the thing, right? It is a balance. I get it. You guys wanted the stroller, but then being planners, you weren't going to absolutely go nuts on every other item.
That's very smart.
And here's some things I would suggest before the baby. For the listener, if you're planning to have a baby, about to have a baby, those things before, number one, look at your budget because it will be changing. They do cost some money. So look at the budget and prepare to change it. Number two, see a lawyer, get a will because unfortunately now that you have little ones, if something happens to you, you need to take care of another person. Insurance wise, I'm not a huge insurance person. I don't believe in getting a lot of insurance. I think investing your own money will create better wealth for you, but a term life insurance. This means for the next 20 to 25 years, if you pass away, a lump sum of money is paid to your partner and thus that money can help raise your kiddos. When it comes to shopping, don't be afraid to buy gently used items. Allow the gifts from grandparents to roll in, right? You don't need to buy those extravagant things when they're little. Make sure if you're living in Canada, you're listening to this, that you are receiving the child benefit from the government. This can be a significant amount of money, especially if you have multiple kids at home. Maybe you're not making a lot of money. The government does pay you every month to help raise those kids.
So Nick, after the nursery's all set up, stroller, car seat, et cetera, after those are all bought, our little one really doesn't seem that expensive. Are little ones that expensive?
I would say from birth to three, they're as expensive as you want them to be. Avoid all the fancy new things, especially when it comes to things they'll just grow out of. They'll just mess them up. They don't care what they're wearing. Buy the one nice outfit for the picture, blah, blah, blah. But do not go overboard with purchases. Keep the things you have in good shape because in the future, you could put them away, organize them, and maybe if the future has other kids in it, they can be using that stuff. Hand down stuff, sell stuff. It's good for the environment and it's good for your money. The one thing that is expensive for little children, different across the country, but daycare. So when you both go back to work, you know, my wife and I were paying $35 a day at a little daycare at a house times two children. That was about $1,400 a month. And this was by far our largest expense.
Pricey.
Yes. The last thing on top of that expense that I would suggest is a registered education savings plan, the word or the acronym RESP. As people in education, I'm sure Bryce, you kind of plan and put that education maybe as a priority. Mm-hmm. So the RESP is what you're going to need. It's basically putting money away every month for your child to access when they go to school. But it's kind of a cool setup because once you put enough money in there, once you put any money in there, the government says, hey, you know, this kiddo is going to grow up. They're going to go to school, probably have a better job, pay a little bit more tax. This is a good thing. We want to incentivize you to save for your kid's education. So they'll give you up to 20% of what you put in there, up to $500 a year. So this is the perfect scenario if you want to maximize this. $208.33 a month per kid. That means $2,500 a year you will put into this account, this RESP, but the government will say, awesome job, Bryce, here's $500. They'll do that until they've given you $7,200 through the year. So if you start early, like I'm talking right away, it'll take about 14 years and a bit before the government says, we're going to stop giving you money. But here's the math on that. So you're putting in $2,500 a year, government's putting in $500. So that's $3,000 a year is being invested into your kids' future education. Invested very conservatively for 14 years, because that's when the government will say no more money. It's about $55,000 will be there after those years. And then you've got from that 14 years old to about 18 years old, about another 4 years. So it should grow to about $60,000 for each of your children. So you'll have 60 grand in that account. It may not be enough. You know how schools are. You don't know what they're going to do or where they're going to go, or online school, trade, education, doesn't matter. They'll have $60,000 to pay for all things school related, housing, transportation, books, tuition, everything. Start it early. I think it'll be something that will certainly help your family achieve that awesome financial future. RESP.
So Nick, you've got kids. Are your 3 and 5 year olds more expensive? You know, do you have any money hacking tips for those of us that are having a toddler or that have a toddler?
Yeah, no, they do. Yes and no. They become more expensive because now they have bikes, they're in sports, they're doing things, right? So again, your budget changes, but we still shop for used stuff. We keep things in good shape to hand it down between siblings. But one of our kids are starting school, so we'll reduce our daycare bill. So it's a little different, but they're eating more. They're doing things. They run through their shoes more. They run through their pants more, right? So like there is always an expense that's coming as they're getting older. And talking about that sort of age, that 3 to 5, that's where that money conscious kid, if you're raising one, it actually starts. Make that piggy bank. Put it in the room. Start showing that money goes into places. Take them shopping somewhere where they have $5 to buy stuff. Interact with money at that age. It's kind of the first step of getting that sort of money conscious entire family going.
Then as their children get older, school age,
yep.
Do you pay allowances?
I have started paying allowances. Yes. My 5-year-old, I pay $5 a month. It's kind of, you know, how old they are, that much money per month. It's just kind of what we do. We allow them to spend, but they need, out of that money, he needs to buy his little brother a birthday gift with that. So they start to save, they start to give, as in giving that gift to his brother, and start to kind of spend whenever he wants. But I kind of have a little hitch on that. If our oldest, you know, I've given him $60 for the year, let's say he spent 20 on his brother's gift, he has 40. If he spends none of it, the next year, whatever he has saved, I will double it. So if he has $40 saved, I'll give him another $40. Kind of that incentive of delayed gratification. And that's sort of an investing lesson, right? The longer you wait, the more money you will have. But here's the thing with allowances. They have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the chores in our household. Young, old, doesn't matter. Chores for us is what keeps a household going. And I suggest to all parents, not paying kids just to do the chores, because chores are what both parents do, families do, to keep it going. And also a bank account, time to set up a bank account for them, putting a little bit of birthday money, all those things in there. So again, they're interacting with that whole buying, spending, saving thing.
So let me ask you another question. Kids, they obviously don't stay the same age forever.
Yeah.
What about when they grow to become teenagers?
Yeah, I don't have teenagers yet, but I've been asking lots of questions, kind of doing some research on that, and they are even more expensive because they're eating more, they're growing faster, they want the coolest things. Holy smokes. So with teenagers, if you started the registered education savings plan early, maybe that bill is gone. Maybe you're not putting that money towards their education anymore. Wonderful. So maybe you're saving a little bit there. But as I said, the food, the clothing, all those things would be very expensive. So what do I suggest? Helping them get a job, taking them, driving them there, doing all those things will be awesome for them to have money to spend on some of those things as well. Make sure they have a bank account. And it's funny, allow them to spend on dumb stuff. Like if they want to waste their money on a $50 thing, a $200 thing, don't fight them on it. Let them experience that, oh crap moment when now I don't have the money and I don't use the thing as much, or I didn't want that pair of jeans that badly. Oh man, because that might help them in the future avoid big money pitfalls. I also say, introduce your kids to different people, as in what they do financially, different jobs, businesses, entrepreneurs. Get them to learn how the rest of the world makes money outside of what mom and dad do. And as I said, help them get that job, drive them there, pick them up, do whatever you have to do. It's a great thing. The last thing I'll say about teenagers, one of the biggest money saving things that I believe will help is teaching them how to cook. They're going to leave home one day. If they know how to make a good chicken breast, boil that rice, cut up those vegetables, simple things, that could lead to them saving a boatload of money out, as of they're not going to go to a restaurant and eat out all the time. They know how to cook. It's much healthier too. Awesome.
And hey, mom and dad can get a couple free meals too.
That's the thing, right? Teach them the things that we know. And that is, you're always going to use cooking. Go at that. And then when they're 18, if you have a kid that's turning 18, open up a tax-free savings account. It's a TFSA. We'll explain more of this in upcoming episodes. It's basically a great account to put money in that you are going to invest. And in the future, well, in the future, they can take that money out tax-free and prepare to help them even when they're young adult kids. They'll come back and live with you just like I did to my parents and all those things. So be prepared for that. You know, I've heard a great line from people that they have acquired some wealth, we'll put it that way. And their line about kids is, have enough money so your kid can do anything they want, but not so much money that they can do nothing. So money should open doors for your kids. Give them those experiences. Give them the chances to fail and get back up, but never enough money so that they can choose to do nothing. And one of my last little things that I've done, which has been kind of more fun for me than anything, is on the birthdays of my two kids, I buy one individual stock of what they're super into that year. So they're big Tim Hortons, you know, Timbits, smoothie kind of kids. So I bought the stock, the company that owns Tim Hortons, QSR is the ticker if you're interested. And on March 13th and December 22nd, I don't care what the stock price does, I buy one share each day. Kids don't know about it, nothing like that. But when they're older, hey, maybe there'll be a couple $1,000 in there that can help them out one day. So just a little tidbit, little thing that I have fun with, and it'll be fun to see in 15, 18 years how much money's there.
Yeah, it sounds neat. So Nick, we talked about a lot of stuff. Listeners, where do they start?
Oh yeah, I know. Hey, kids, expensive. So just accept that, number one. Number two, revisit your budget before and during kids, and don't be afraid to change that budget because it will change.
Be flexible with it.
Absolutely. Number three, don't fall into traps of having a ton of expensive items, clothes, things like that. Keep saving through all these years. Attempt to save through all these expensive years. Then make sure you're getting that child benefit from the government. And on top of that, open up an RESP. It can be done in lots of different platforms. Go to your financial service and open up that RESP, Registered Education Savings Plan. This is free government money to you. And I think one of the overlooked things is talk with your kids. Talk with your kids about what you make, how you spend your money, and how you save money. And this hopefully will create a whole family that's more money conscious. And this really gets us to create a not so average financial future. Thank you so much for chatting, Bryce. Listeners out there, thank you so much. Rate us 5 stars. Follow us. If you
have 4 will do.
Yeah, there you go. 4 will do. A question you want answered or a topic you want covered, email us at talkingtoonies@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and you can always send us a message on there. Until next time. Talking Toonies is for educational purposes only. Thank you for tuning in.